Exodus chapter 20, 8 through 11. Continuing our series this morning on what I've called the tender commandments. I call them that because Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 says that the reason that God gave the commandments to us, remember the three things that we've said the entire series? That we may live, that we may increase, and that we may possess the promises of God. There's nothing in there about squelching our life, restricting our adventure, or limiting our fun. The Ten Commandments have gotten a bad rap. That we may live, that we may increase, and that we may possess the promises of God. In other words, the Ten Commandments are good for our soul. They're good for our life. And they're motivated by a God whose heart toward us is love. That's why I've called the Ten Commandments the Tender Commandments. Now today we're going to pick up on the fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath. Now that may sound antiquated and out of date, and you may wonder, what would that possibly have to do with our life now in the 21st century? Well, let me ask you a few questions. Have you ever had that feeling when you were sitting down at home and doing nothing? You ever had that feeling of guilt, like you ought to be doing something and you couldn't figure out what it was? You're like, I know there's things that I ought to be doing, but I'm tired or or I've been sick for a while or whatever. I just don't know. I don't know what I should do. And you can't sit still because you just know there's something you ought to be doing. And you ever have those times when you're just up and down and up and down and up and down? And you think, I know there's something I ought to be doing, so I can't just sit here. And even when you sit down, even when you're forced to make your body stop, your mind's still racing 100 miles an hour, preparing for all the things that you're going to do when you get up. Sometimes you can't sleep at night because your mind just won't slow down. Did you know that today the average person sleeps 7 hours a night? In the year 1900, 111 years ago, the average person slept 9 hours a night. We got 2 hours more sleep than we do today. Today, we have had an enormous shift in the workplace, and more often than not, people are doing more mind labor than they are manual labor. And even manual labor has become a lot more sophisticated and requires a lot more mental strain than it did at one point in human history. So our minds and our emotions are getting worn out. It's very common in the average home today for mom and dad both to work. The commute into work is getting longer and starting earlier. I don't know if you knew it or not, but Birmingham is one of the longest commuter cities in America. That's why gas prices, when they go up, it always hits our area so hard, because our area is so spread out and people drive so far for the things that they do. In 1997, the average person was producing, now this is a 14-year-old, almost 15-year-old statistic, but listen to it for a minute. In 1997, the average person was producing 33% more work than they were in 1985. 12 years separated, the work capacity went up, work productivity went up in the marketplace 33%. Not only are we working longer hours, we're producing more. America has the longest work week in the industrialized world. Now, however you cut it, we live a very intense and rugged pace. Now, as we approach this command this morning, I want to ask you to do something that I've never asked you to do. If you have your Bible with you, I want you to take it out and hold it in your hands, or your iPod or your phone or whatever you got the Bible on. You know, head of a pen, whatever it might be for you. On the inside of your retina, I don't know where it might be. Take your Bible out. If you don't, you can take your bulletin or something. And what I just want you to do is before we read this commandment, I just want you to take it and just touch it to your forehead right here. It's going to seem very silly. Just touch it to your forehead Right there where your brain touches your skull, right there. And now I just want you to repeat this after me. Are you ready? God, like you mean it, God is smarter than I am. Good. Now you're ready to hear this commandment. Look at Exodus chapter 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, in case any of you are having trouble with your man or maidservants working, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the Sabbath is a day of rest. I think of all of the Ten Commandments, this is the one that we are most comfortable in breaking. This is the one that we feel most comfortable in violating. This is the one that feels most like a suggestion and most like a concept that is too far removed from modern society and doesn't really apply anymore. This is the one that we've probably thought through more reasons why it's okay not to do it than any of the other nine. We probably have more justifications on tap, ready to respond with in the conversation of our mind. But I want you to think about this one thought this morning as you engage the commandment in that way. No one really ever breaks a commandment. You and I break ourselves on them, but we don't break them, they won't break. But we will shatter as we run into them and try to change them to fit our life. Now, I found an interesting book somebody had given me a while back on my bookshelf. And this is titled Exceptions to the Ten Commandments. And I thought that would have to be a fascinating book. Exceptions to the Ten Commandments. And I opened it and look what's on every page. I wonder if that applies to remember the Sabbath. There are no exceptions to the Ten Commandments. When I began looking at the fourth commandment, I thought it was interesting that God had more to say about remembering the Sabbath than he had to say about adultery and murder. Maybe the reason for that is because people that keep the Sabbath generally don't kill people and don't commit adultery. There might be something to that. Keep the Sabbath holy. What does it mean to keep it holy? If you look at the word holy through Scripture, you can find that the word holy means to separate or to set apart for God's purposes. Basically, what it means is set one day a week to do something different than you do the other 6 days. It has to do with a change of pace. The way I keep the Sabbath holy is by using it for what God intended it for to be used for. The way that I don't keep it holy is that I use the Sabbath for what God did not intend it to be used for. I think the way we misuse the Sabbath most often in our times is we use it as a catch-up day to catch up on all the things we couldn't get done the other six. I think that's probably our greatest violation of it. But if we do that, it's not set apart. So how do we set this day apart? Well, I think there's all kind of ways to think about this as far as timing. In other words, does the Sabbath have to be honored on Sunday? Maybe this is a rare thing for you and you generally work on Sunday and you're generally not here. And I just want to say to you, I think you have the liberty in Scripture to honor the Sabbath on another day of the week if it's outside of your control to change. I also think that there are times, if you look in the Jewish calendar, you may begin to honor the Sabbath at lunch on one day and then break the Sabbath at lunch on the next day. And there's all kind of issues with timing that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this morning, because what I really wanted to do today is not talk about when do we honor the Sabbath, but really to focus in on how to take a Sabbath. What would a Sabbath look like? How do we set this day apart? Unfortunately, for most of us, our highest thought on how to honor the Sabbath is to show up at church. I honored the Sabbath. How do you know? I went to service today. But and that's part of honoring the Sabbath. But I want you to know there's much more than that. So if you've got a pen this morning, I want to encourage you to take it out, take some notes today, and I want to give you three ways to honor the Sabbath. The first is this: physical rest. Physical rest. During creation, God created 7 days filled with different things. He filled the seventh day with rest. Now, I want you to think about how profound that is. Before sin, before the fall of man, before sacrifices, before law, before tithing, before the church, before children, before sin even entered the world, God sowed into the very fabric of creation rest. Now you have a biblical basis for the Sunday afternoon nap. You can tell your wife, God has said. Don't say the pastor. I can rest. You know, I think sometimes we become so consumed with making a living that we don't have time to live. Our bodies are not built for non-stop work. They're not built for non-stop work, day and night, day and night, day and night. There's an old Indian parable that says, you break the bow if it's always bent. And to steal a line from Jack Nicholson from The Shining, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. How do you keep the Sabbath holy? We're talking about physical rest. Do not work. That's how you keep it holy. Don't respond to the email. Don't return the phone call. Even texting counts. Because the next thing, one text turns into another and turns into another and turns into another, and the next thing you know, you're working. Do not work. Rest your body. When you don't set the Sabbath apart, what you're basically saying to God is that you're no help at all. Everything in my life is up to me, and if I don't keep moving, the universe is going to fall apart. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I am independent of God. God does not have any interaction in my life. God, if I honor His Sabbath, He will not help me. Therefore, I have to help myself. I'm on my own. God is the best Father that's ever existed. So when He says work, work, and when He says rest, rest, and trust that His wisdom will cover you. Physical rest. Here's the second way to set the Sabbath apart and keep it holy. Holy means set apart. Emotional rest. Emotional rest. Physical rest will not relieve emotional fatigue. Why is it, and I think this is more important in our day, when so many of our occupations require a mental drain on us. We spend so much time engaging in such sophisticated and complex things mentally that it rags us out emotionally. And physical rest will not recuperate you from emotional fatigue. It will not. And so that's why when you're emotionally worn out, when you're mentally worn out, sometimes you can stay a whole day, you know, kick around the house in your warm-ups or whatever, and lay around and do nothing, and then you end up going right back to work on Monday, and you're just as tired as you were, because you didn't have anything that emotionally replenished you. It was physical vegetation. You and I need regular doses of inspiration and encouragement. Hebrews says that encouragement is the antidote to people walking away from God. And you and I need regular doses of inspiration and encouragement. So here's what I want to do. We've talked about physical rest. I want to talk about emotional rest. And in this point, in the last one, I want to give you kind of two opposites. Emotional rest can be found, I think, in a balance of two places. Here's the first one. Fellowship with other believers. When you fellowship with believers, it is an emotional break. It is now, I'm not talking about counseling. I'm not talking about conflict resolution. I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about peer-to-peer, heart-to-heart, life-to-life, genuine authentic fellowship with other believers. It will replenish you emotionally. Fellowship with other believers. If you want to know the real strength of the life group ministry in this church, it's that as our groups meet together, as our groups talk about spiritual life, as our groups teach, as our groups encourage one another and care for each other, hearts and emotions are refreshed. Hearts and minds are built up and cleansed. When believers come together in unity and iron sharpens iron, when we build each other up and encourage each other, we have fun together, we share life together, our emotions are rested. We separate mentally from the load of the day. We separate from the responsibilities that are bearing down on our life, and we refresh each other through fellowship. You don't know how many times somebody has said to me in my life, "Man, I came this close to not coming today. I was tired, or I was this, or we were worn out, or we've been through this crisis, or whatever. But I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I ignored that and came anyway, because I've gotten around other believers, and so-and-so said this to me, and this person prayed for me, and when we worshiped, this happened. And I've become so encouraged." And they look at me and they almost all, however they say it, they usually say this: "Today was just for me." I got good news for you. And I want you to listen past what I'm saying. Listen to the depth of what I'm saying. Every Sunday is just for you. And I'll tell you why. Jesus said, when the Pharisees were trying to correct him for healing someone on the Sabbath, Jesus said that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. It is God's gift-wrapped present to you and to me. He made it for us. It's not a rule that he made to hold over us, to hurt us. It's a present that he wrapped up to give to us. You and I have been given the gift of the Sabbath. So in emotional rest, we find emotional rest in Christian fellowship. Here's the other thing, though. We also find emotional rest in solitude. In solitude. We do not think, talk, or exercise, most of us, solitude. I found solitude in one of the hardest times of my life by accident. And I found it to be a genuine spiritual habit that replenishes you and I emotionally. Now, here's the thing about solitude. Solitude cannot be done with someone else. Solitude is done by yourself. Solitude has to be done alone. So you can get outside, sit on your back porch, go for a walk, get in nature, if you want to fish or something like that. The point is, steal away some moments that you are completely alone. Only you and God. That's it. Psalm 23 says, "He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." When do you listen to the flowing of those quiet waters? When do you hear them? You need to schedule some time alone. No TV, no phone, no computer, no kids, no spouse, nobody. Maybe maybe 30 minutes or so a week, just a little gap, where you can sit in quiet and do nothing but sit. Just sit. I remember hearing Mother Teresa interviewed on Larry King, and he was talking to her about being a person of prayer, and he said, well, when you pray, what do you say to God? She said, nothing. Well, you believe he speaks to you, don't you? She said, yes, I do. Well, when you pray, what does he say? She said, nothing. We just sit. And I'm just saying to you, there is an emotionally replenishing spirituality that comes in the moment of solitude where you're not trying to do anything. You're not trying to intercede. You're not trying to get God to do anything. You're not trying to get anything from God. You're not trying. You're there. And I'm saying to you, that moment of solitude is going to give your inner being emotional rest. I want to encourage you, next week we're doing we've only done one of these, we're doing our second one-day retreat. Solitude is much of the purpose, although we're in a big group. We also separate at times to go and be alone and pray, then we come back and teach and talk, and then we go away, and that's how we flow in one day. I want to encourage you, we had a great engagement last time. I want to encourage you next Sunday, if you want to find a way to really have and honor the Sabbath, join us. I promise you, you will go, and this is what I said last time when we introduced everybody the idea, and when we got there, when everybody got there and finally got everything handled and they drove onto the property and got out of the car, just went outside and sat there for a minute, that feeling hit you. Man, I should do this more often. And what I predicted, many people said, at the end of the day, when it was all over, I really needed that. I really needed it. And I want to encourage you, solitude and fellowship, we're going to have a great companionship on that next Sunday after Sunday morning service in what we call it a retreat. It's about five to 6 hours total. That includes food, fellowship, that's everything. But you will be replenished. Okay, physical rest, emotional rest. Here's the third one. Spiritual rest. Spiritual rest. The undercurrent of all these has a spirituality to them. And you can see that connection. But to honor the Sabbath, you need a spiritual rest. Now again, let me give you two opposites and how to have a spiritual rest. One is worship. One is worship. For too long, I think we went to the extreme of everything was corporate spirituality. Everything had to be done together. Everything had to be in the sanctuary, in the service, all together, all at once, all facing the front, like that. Everything was corporate. Now the pendulum has swung, and we're going the way that everything's got to be, you know, individual spirituality. Everything's got to be by itself. Everything's got to be, and that's the way it always works. The pendulum won't ever stop in the middle. It'll just swing too far from one side to the other. But the question to that is what is more important, corporate spirituality or individual spirituality? The answer to that question is yes. Both. It's not one or the other, it's both. Can my experiences on Sunday at my church replace my need to walk with Jesus through the week? No. Can my experiences walking with Jesus through the week replace my need to be part of the corporate worship of the body? No. They work in tandem and they work together. The Sabbath is a day to worship with the body of Christ. For all of us to have our eyes lifted back up on Him again. There's a power when we come together and remember why that moment's important. You cannot fully do that without the body of Christ. Your spirit and mind needs to be refilled with God's power and God's presence. We need to be reminded that He's always with us. When we gather together in worship, our awareness of God's presence goes up. We're reminded again that He's with us, that His promises are true. But what's happened in America is America's turned Sunday into fun day. It's Miller time. It's another day off. It's a holiday. Now here's what I want to say to you. The problem with that is if all you do is work and play and work and play and work and play and work and play, it might keep you from going postal, but it'll leave you empty on the inside. Your spirit will never be filled. Your spirit will never be recharged. Your spirit will never be full. There's an internal fullness of God's presence that overflows as part of your life. So spiritual rest comes then in two forms. One is worship. Let me give you the other one. The other way that we receive spiritual rest, and this one's not going to make sense at all, is serving. Because you go, well, wait a minute. It's the Sabbath. I shouldn't usher, or I shouldn't greet, or I shouldn't, you know, minister to kids in Critterland, or it's the Sabbath. We shouldn't serve today. Serving is a form, not serving, you can't take the whole Sabbath and serve 12 straight hours. But if you want to know what are the pieces inside honoring the Sabbath and separating it and keeping it holy, serving is part of the Sabbath. Why is serving such a big deal? Because we never understand what Christianity is until we get outside ourselves and serve another person on their terms. That's when we begin to understand what the Sabbath is about. Proverbs says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." I want to challenge you, if you think this is inconsistent with what you know of in the Scripture, I want to challenge you to find the word Sabbath every time it appears in the first four Gospels. Every time the Gospels record the word Sabbath, I want you to look it up and you will see how Jesus interacted and encountered people on the Sabbath. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find more times than not Jesus doing something good on the Sabbath and the Pharisees rebuking him for it, saying you shouldn't work on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, "You silly people, I am the Sabbath. The Sabbath has come. The Sabbath rest, man's rest, has come in the form of the Messiah." You will find that Jesus said, "What is better on the Sabbath, to give life or to take it?" What is serving? Serving is doing good to someone else. Doing good to someone else is honorable on the Sabbath. It's a good way to honor it. So here's the few things we have. Physical rest, emotional rest, which is fellowship and solitude, and then spiritual rest, which is worship and serving. If you can find a way to have 15 to 30 minute segments of those things tied together inside the Sabbath. This is why we have Sunday morning worship service. Start the day off honoring the Sabbath with worship, with spiritual worship and spiritual rest and energy. Just as we stood there and sang, don't you sense as God's presence come that we have this refilling of spiritual energy that comes back in our life? And I do. I say, wow, I'm encouraged again. I've touched God again. How could you apply this? Well, as we close this morning, I say this to you often. It's so important that we respond. When God speaks, when His Word is clear, when His Word is taught, when His Spirit is communicating, it's so important that we realize we're not just shutting off a lesson. That God actually combines His Spirit and His Word together to speak to our soul. And when He does, it's important that we respond. How can we respond? I've already shared one way. I want to give you three. The first way I've already shared is one day retreat next week. I just want to encourage you to go. We're just at the beginning of October, slap in the middle of fall. You know, school's been burning hot and sports are going and homework and work and, you know, grandparents have been running here and there. And I'm just willing to bet that you need rest as much as I do. And if you'll gather with us next week, here's the deal. We're going to Oak Mountain. It's $10. $10 covers admission to Oak Mountain, lunch, child care, and a booklet. I mean, we're not out to make anything, and it doesn't matter how many people we have come. It's the same to us financially. It's the same. So I want to encourage you when service is over. One of the ways you could respond is in the foyer, you'll see a sign-up table. You could sign up for one day. Here's the second. I want us to do something that we've never done together before. This will be very intense for some of you, extremely intense. But I want to do a couple of minutes just to show you what solitude would be like. And so, right where you sit, I want you to prepare your mind. And you guys, if you'll go ahead and pull the lights down. We're not going to do anything scary. Nobody's going to do anything creepy. But what I want you to do where you sit is just if you can find a place where you know you can be still. For about 2 minutes, I don't want you to try to do anything. Just sit in solitude. And we'll take 2 minutes, which will be longer than you think. But just sit with God. Just quiet your mind, quiet your heart, quiet your body. If you'd like to close your eyes, you can close your eyes if you're comfortable. And let's start now.